Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening, we'll talk about the big events in Africa in the year 2015. With us tonight is my colleague, Patrick Deya. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Simpuga.
And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the listeners.
Welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me, as always.
You're welcome. I say tonight our topic is going to look at the big events in Africa in the year 2015. Many things happened, it was a year worth noting. Now, let me start here in studio with Patrick. Briefly, what was your major event in Africa that you noticed? As I just said in the introduction, our next discussion are the big events in Africa in the year 2015. It was a momentous year as well as tragic in some of the countries. Let me begin here in studio with Patrick. What would you describe as a very big event in Africa in the year 2015?
Douglas, there are several. One of them, of course, is the visiting of the Pope to Kenya, Uganda, and another third country. But I must pick the election of Mr. Magufuli in Tanzania, because it seems like it's for the long term. When you look at Africa, the long term and the need for democracy and good governance, it is one of those moments that you take pause and say, why can't we have leaders that have the same type of outlook for their countries? 2-3 days ago, I was watching a video of Thomas Sankara, and the kind of things that he wanted for his country, for Burkina Faso, and he was a nationalist. He wanted, although it came by a coup, but he wanted things for the people of his country. He was doing things for the people of his country. Magufuli has come in, and one of the things that he's doing is putting everybody on notice that this is a government that is going to be serving the people. It's not going to be corrupt. If you're employed to work, you're supposed to work and be productive. He's come in with some austerity measures that if he continues within that trajectory, I think would be eventually be good for Tanzania. Mm-hmm. Now, during the inauguration, somebody put up a very interesting picture where there was Museveni, there was Kagame, and there was President Uhuru, and I think Mugabe. And here was an embrace by the outgoing President Kikwete and the incoming Magufuli. And you could almost, in the picture, you could almost feel the tension mm-hmm. of this, dictators who have clung to power. And then in this ceremony of a peaceful handover of power from one former president to another. For me, that was quite something.
I see. Suleiman, before you mentioned your other big event, you want to contribute to the Magufuli's election in Tanzania?
What a heartwarming event as far as East Africans are concerned, because Magufuli comes in a region which is surrounded by dictators, which is, as my brother said, which is made up of self-made elected dictators who are corrupt, who have carried their countries backward instead of forward. So I think it is a very good omen for the area, for the region of East Africa. Let's hope it will be emulated by those who are in the region.
I see. And what would you consider as your big event?
Big event, we have got both the positives and the negatives. I agree with my brother. Tanzania is a very big one. But we have also to look at Nigeria. Whoever expected that you can have close to 28 million people coming in to register for an election? to decide the fate of their country. Who would have hoped that the Electoral Commission in Nigeria would take such a firm stand to have a free and fair election? If the elections in Nigeria had gone wrong, you would expect the whole of West Africa to be disrupted completely. But thank God they were able to carry it through. And then we also saw two, statesmanship, and three, the power of the people. Statesmanship from the incumbent president, Jonathan. We cannot forget his statement that nobody's ambition is worth the blood of any Nigerian. That was part of his congratulatory message to President Muhammad Buhari. Many African leaders have failed to cross the Rubicon, to face that reality that no drop of blood of any citizen of any country is worth the ambition of anybody who wants to be president forever or for a particular period. So Nigeria was a very, very heartwarming and very big news on the continent. That is the positive one. Also, in the same positive note, was Burkina Faso. Remember where they come from. As my brother has said, ever since the assassination of Thomas Sankara, assassinated by his own friend, Ouattara, he stayed 27 years, and he wanted to extend more years. Nobody expected that the people could take such a stand. But you could not take people for granted. Just like in Nigeria, just like in Tanzania, the people took a stand and decided that President Compaore could not continue, and they threw him out. Thank God they have managed to have successful election. We think that, we hope and pray that Burkina Faso will go on a different trajectory and join those other countries, democratic countries like Ghana, like Nigeria, in the West African region. So that was also, I think, very good news. But in this good news, also we are mixed with a sad news, very sad and very devastating.
Yes, and I'm sure there you are referring to instances like in Burundi that is almost falling apart.
South Sudan, Burundi, and then our brothers who are dying on the seas. I think those are also areas which we can look on later on. But it's very sad that while we are having some positives at one side, on the other side we are having the extremes. In southern Sudan, where the ambitions of particular people are continuing to allow the blood of citizens, plenty of blood, flowing because of ambitions of certain individuals, which is the opposite of what President Jonathan said, that nobody's ambition is worth the blood of any citizen of Nigeria. In other countries, they are seeing the ambitions of individuals worth blood of people. As we see, as we can now witness, people are dying in Burundi, and we don't know where it will end in Burundi. People are dying in southern Sudan, we don't know where it will end. People are dying on the seas, we don't know where it ends. So the year 2015 has had both the positive and also the negative.
Patrick, he mentions there, among others, Burundi. Burundi is a country that had some peace after having a civil war, some conflict. They went to Tanzania and agreed on certain terms. And then the current president, Pierre Nkurunziza, renegaded on his promise to abide by the two-term limitation. This is a very sad situation.
But this is the cancer that eats into us Africans over and over and over. Mm. The selfishness and the personal ambition that these people want to get by any means necessary, regardless of what the cost of human lives is meted on their people. How can you claim to be a leader when people die because you want to stay in power? We see Sudan, Burundi now, where people are living in misery because some people want to stay in power. For what? Yeah. And you know, in Sudan, they renege on agreements upon agreements. So, you know, they go back on their agreements every time. And it's because of this very self-centered reason and greed, really. It's just greed. So when you see some good things like happening in Tanzania, when you see some democracy like in Botswana, the Nigeria thing, you know, Ghana, it just makes you feel some hope. Mm-hmm. Some, you know, that hopefully these are people that are slowly showing people the way. Magufuli is fighting corruption. In Kenya, corruption is the order of the day. I mean, everybody who gets into an elected position or appointed position by the administration, they go in there, I believe, with the sole purpose of how much can I steal while I'm here. It is amazing.
And you see, Suleiman, East Africa had a more interesting year, as Patrick mentioned here, whereas Magufuli has come full force to put where his mouth is, fighting corruption and trying his best in the first months. In Kenya, the corruption is still high. Whereas in Tanzania, they had a good election. In Uganda, they are going to an election the following year, next year, in 2016, in February. But the leader there has been there for 30 years. In Rwanda, the president has at least managed to change the constitution and have unlimited terms. In Burundi, it's on fire. In Sudan, it's fighting. So the region, the African region, seems to be the most almost messed up.
It is very sad the way my brother says that many of our African so-called leaders, those who have grabbed the power or those who have had the opportunity to enter power, out of selfishness and greed, they have decided to put their countries at ransom. They have decided to sacrifice their countries. There is no reason up to today we cannot justify why a leader should stay more than 10 years. We cannot justify. Some countries, for example, in Ivory Coast, Gbagbo had created an assumption, had created a fear amongst people that if he leaves, there will be chaos. The opposite has happened. He leaves office, Hassan Ouattara comes in, reforms are being made. You can see a country going into different directions. We cannot forget the time when Rawlings was leaving power. The first statement which Kufuor said was there has been an impression that the Ghanaian economy, according to World Bank and IMF, that the Ghana economy was doing well. I don't want to deny, I don't want to cheat people. The Ghanaian economy is in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
After all the statements from World Bank and IMF praising Jerry Rawlings, actually the economy was not doing well. So what I'm trying to say is that we cannot have any justification why a leader should stay more than 10 years. What the miracle has he done in 10 years which cannot be done by another person? Why shouldn't they learn that power has to exchange hands and they have got the ability? There are other people in the country, millions of people in these countries who can run this government. So why should people continue to die in South Sudan?
Mm-hmm.
Why should people continue to die in Burundi? Why should people continue to die in DRC, in Central African Republic? So it is very sad, as you have said, that we have got positives in the East African region, but the worst part of it, the bigger part of it, is the negative, that the leaders whom we have are those who have stayed more, and now they are changing constitutions to stay even more, those whose terms have expired.
I see.
I think, you know, and we are seeing this, in Rwanda, in Museveni. What what else can these people do that they did not do in 10 years? Mm-hmm. If you've not done anything in 10 years, what makes you think that you're going to be effective anything beyond 10 years?
That's the
question that they've never asked themselves, because they're so full of themselves. They think that they are only... But I also think that the more they stay in there, they become corrupt, and what it becomes is a fear of the person coming in next, calling them on that, and maybe taking action against them.
Yeah, that may be a problem. Well, gentlemen, let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the major events in Africa in the year 2015.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight are the major events in Africa in the year 2015. Our panelists are my colleagues, Patrick Deya of VOA, and Suleiman Mugula, the South Africa-based independent public analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Gentlemen, one of you alluded to one of the major events having been the tragedy of African migrants trying to cross the Mediterranean, some of them perishing at sea. Patrick, that's one of the sad events of the year.
Certainly it is. And people always want a better life. These people, they want a better life for themselves, for their kids, and that's why they're taking these very drastic measures. But the problem with that is, why is this so? It is so because our own leaders in our own countries have decided to desert the basic principle of what leadership should be, making people's lives better. We have resources that the whole of Africa can feed itself. Each country in Africa can feed itself if those resources are put to better use. And that's why you're seeing people want to go into Europe in lands that they don't know, taking risks that them ending up dying in the seas. It is purely failure of leadership.
Suleiman, looking at people who are crossing the Mediterranean, some people and analysts have understand that people, except from countries like Eritrea, where there is a lot of problems, and some other countries in the north. But then the picture is mixed. People move from West Africa through the desert up to the north, and it doesn't seem to be... I don't know. What do you think?
The way my brother said, the push factors are more than the pull factors. The pull factors is a good life, but the push factors is the abject poverty people are running away from. Why? Because there are high levels of unemployment. Why are there high levels of unemployment? Corruption has reached its peak. There is no service delivery. Tell me any country in Africa right now, apart from South Africa and a few of them, where you go to hospital and you are treated well, where there are medicine. Some of these countries where we have dictators like Uganda and the DRC, once you fall sick, that is a death sentence. So people are looking for life. They are running away for their lives. Mm. Why? Because we have failed to get leadership on the continent. We have failed to give hope to the young people. There is no movement as far as creation of employment is concerned. What kind of employment can you create when you have leaders like those ones of Uganda who spend 700 million on buying fighter jets? When you don't have even a road from the airport to the capital, when you have small roads, when you have a whole tourism sector which is lying low, where you could have developed tourism alone and create a lot of employment for young people. They don't see any hope. Someone spent 700 million to buy arms, Apart from that, he collects all the young men and takes them to fight wars in southern Sudan, in Somalia, in Central African Republic. He's in a war, he's on a war footing from 1985 to present day.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that young people will sit there and wait to join the army to be taken to Somalia to die? They will go on the high seas. It is not only Eritrea, the whole continent where there is no progress. Young men are on the move because they want a better life.
And mind you, the $700 million that was spent on the helicopters, four of them, three of them crashed the very same day.
No, they were junk.
They're totally junk.
Yes.
So
it's very sad. But again, there was another big event in the later quarter of the year. Pope Francis visiting Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. Patrick, you're from Kenya. It was a really big event there.
It was. It was a big event for Kenyans, the Pope coming into Kenya. And one of the things that was happened was that the Pope calling for good governance and taking care of the people. Now, one would hope that with the Pope having visited and with our president having asked the Pope to pray for him to combat this thing, that they would actually come up and do something that would combat corruption.
Mm.
Yet you find that, day after day, things are, disclosed that just are mind-boggling.
Mm.
Now you have in Kenya the issue of the Eurobond, which has gone missing, a big chunk of it. There was the big issue of, this minister, the devolution minister that was not going to be sacked, and yet there was issue that almost $1 billion was lost. Now they're discovering that no services were provided for it. Yes, when this kind of people come to our countries and to Africa, they come with a message. But sometimes these messages just fall on deaf ears. That is the sad part.
Yeah, Suleiman, you agree? Because he had the Pope had a message in Kenya. He had a message in Uganda. He had a message in Central African Republic.
Yeah.
Do you think the message was well taken by the leaders?
Whether they took it or not, the fact is that he came on his trip can be put on two major angles. One was spiritual. The other one was political. On the political, as you are saying, he was very clear. Number one, he castigated leaders who don't want to leave power. He was referring to Uganda and others, but he said it in Kenya. When he reached the other side, he talked about corruption. He was referring to the corruption in Kenya. When he reached Central African Republic, he's talking about unemployment. All those are the factors which are bedeviling the whole continent. We have got unemployment, we have got bad leadership, which bad leadership leads to which has got corruption, and this corruption is leading to unemployment and other issues which make the young people to be reckless, which make them to be victims of those who want to use them. So as you can see, the Pope came serious because he can see at the moment we don't have clear and firm leadership on the continent. He came as a hope for the people to try to push some sense into our leaders. If they don't take what the Pope has said, it was as if he was appealing to the people to be aware of what is going on. He's adding to the voices of some of you people who are trying to conscientize the people that it is high time we get rid of corruption, it is high time the leaders wake up and leave power to others to change in these particular countries.
Yeah, and as we wind down the time, we're running out of time. Patrick, the economy, despite some of the countries posting some rosy figures of GDP, the economies didn't see, on the continent generally didn't seem to do quite well.
Well, you can talk about GDP all you want, whether you're going to say it's high or whatnot. It comes down to bottom line. Can people afford their lives?
Mm.
Are people employed? What is the life of somebody in the rural, in their rural homes, in their houses? Can they afford clothes, school fees for their kids, food for their kids? That is the bottom line, and that is something that right now people are saying things are very expensive everywhere. They can't afford it, and why? Because of wastage, pilferage of the resources, public resources. That has to stop.
And Suleiman, towards the end of the year, there was this big climate conference in Paris, and where African countries, which of course were part of the developing world, participated. What impact did you think the leaders took from that conference? Briefly.
You see, the climate change conference is just like the conferences which are going on about immigrants. The African leaders are going there to beg money. They go with the face of that they are facing economic problems. If they are given, they are going with the begging bowls in their hands. If they are given money, they will make life better, because life is bad on the continent. If they can be helped, they will make things better, which is the opposite. They go, get the money, and then they will continue to lead a luxurious life. Their budgets for State House will continue to be up. The budgets for members of parliament will continue to go up, while the budgets for agriculture will continue to go low, while the budget for tourism and others, health and education, will continue to go low. So much, even if they attend hundreds and hundreds of conferences, so long as we don't have a mindset and so long as we don't have change of leadership on the continent, Africa is going nowhere. Instead, we are going to go in more conflicts like those ones of Burundi, those ones of Central African Republic. Let's pray that in Uganda it doesn't rise up. Let's pray that in Rwanda it doesn't rise up. But there are good chances that Uganda can go on fire, just as Rwanda can go on fire the way Sudan has been.
Okay, in a word, Patrick, we are running out of time. How would you grade the year for Africa, the whole 2015?
It's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. The good highlights are good, and hopefully that the good highlights gives people hope.
Mm.
There has to be, let's hope that this is the one of those where we are making a stride forward, even when other leaders try to make us have two steps back.
Yes.
So I would say that, we have to look forward and build on what is happening.
I see. So, Suleiman, you see Africa building from what happened in 2015 into 2016. Briefly, very briefly, though.
We are praying for Magufuli.
Mm-hmm.
We are praying for Buhari. We are praying for Ouattara. We are praying for Cobra in Burkina Faso. We are praying for those newcomers who have come to make a new change to the continent. Let's hope whatever they do, rub off these other rotten and dictatorial states which are holding their people at ransom.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague Patrick Dare of VOA here, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Yes.
And a Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you. And Happy New Year, the continent.
And our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganyi. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can still listen to it by going to our main website, click on Programs, scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga in Washington, wishing you a prosperous 2016.
Footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring and children from learning. Join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Join with leaders like President Kikwete.
United, we can beat malaria.